Well, I think about it in a bunch of different ways. I mean, when Emma was talking just now, I was thinking also about how much, like, in, for me, like in martial arts, I have this sensei, and when I walk in, I kind of let a lot of my stuff go and just fall into their direction. And then I just go with that, you know. In academics, I've always enjoyed, you know, like kind of following my professors and embodying them and letting them take me where they think they need me to go or they think I should go. And so I think that kind of student-teacher relationship has always been really important to me. And so maybe upstairs, babe. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. So I think that that student-teacher relationship has always been important to me. And the same then would be, in Buddhism, whether it's in Zen. We were really lucky to have Edo Francis Carney Roshi, and she was actually a Catholic nun, a white woman who was a Catholic nun, then stopped that, and then, you know, and then, you know, had life and then became, you know, a Zen nun and so, and Zen teacher and priest. And so, and then Jamyang, he was Tibetan, as a monk and as a Geshe, but then when he was around 30-ish or something like that, then he stopped and married a white woman and got a mortgage and, you know, went to school and tried to figure that whole thing out and loves Costco a lot, you know? And so it's like, I've really been like blessed with these teachers. So I think that part of that tradition as a tradition calls to me quite a bit. But the other thought I have is around this guru stuff, this guru devotion thing, you know, is very Eastern. And when we're in Tibet or when we're in like folks that are, you know, truly doing that stuff, you know, Tibetans mostly, it feels right. You know, it feels like it's culturally congruent for them. You know, there's no real, doesn't seem like there's a big fear of exploitation or brainwashing or, you know, it just seems like it's assumed ethical practice is going on. But somehow when, you know, you get maybe, you get Westerners trying to do this Eastern thing, this Eastern, you know, guru devotion-y thing. I don't know if we're really wired for it. I really don't know if Westerners have this precedent for how to really interact with the teacher and let yourself go and let them take you, you know, where you need to go. You know, I think that's still in Christian traditions a little bit, maybe, but it doesn't seem like it's the emphasis on, you know, the preacher or the priest and that close relationship is as strong as it is, you know. And then the other thought I have is as a psychologist, as a psychotherapist, that therapy relationship is somewhat artificial in nature, but I think has a lot of similarities to it, you know, and in very traditional kind of like psychoanalytic practice, we know that like I am a very powerful figure in my client's life, you know, and so they'll be projecting a bunch of things on me and I need to kind of figure out what those are and how to work that into therapy. And so that relationship is just, it's imbued with meaning. But like with kind of the guru devotion-y stuff, the stuff around therapy is again a fear of like you're in this kind of artificial, somewhat intimate relationship, and if the therapist doesn't know how to contain that, it can get harmful and it can be exploitive, and that's what gives therapy sometimes a bad name too, you know. And don't get me wrong, Westerners don't know how to do therapy very well either. You know what I mean? It's like I think that's our form of like guru devotion. Is, you know, in like secular kind of psychotherapy sorts of ways. So
I think that we've just been really very fortunate too, because I think we've always had really great teachers that would never encroach on any type of trust, or, you know, it would never get into that area, and who take it really, you know, seriously, that responsibility, and I think maybe know of our Western shortcomings, you know, so, but it is a somewhat a foreign concept, because if you talk about trying to tell my mom, who's a traditional Catholic, about, you know, well, we, you know, we went and took this empowerment and it's our guru, Sakya Treason, you know, that at that point in time is the 42nd. And, you know, and trying to talk about those feelings of devotion that you have for somebody that you don't really know, you know, that you don't really know, she'd be like, you're crazy. You know, I mean, that sounds like, you know, you join Jim Jones or something. I don't know. But so it's difficult to explain, but I think it's all about the boundaries. And I think that we're really, really fortunate to have had teachers that just have really clear boundaries, you know, but at the same time are so skilled at their practice and who they are as teachers that it almost creates like an instant trust. And I can only really compare it to, like, in Catholicism, this idea about faith. You know, it's something you can't really touch or feel or see, or, you know, it's more of like this connection, you know, that exists. And so I think that's the closest thing. So, you know, if I were to try to explain it to my mom, I'd probably try to explain it in that way. You know, it's that feeling of connection that you have to your spiritual practice. You know, maybe when, you know, you're not in church, you know, it's like that similar kind of feeling, those positive feelings that you have. That's similar to what, you know, having a guru is, and, mm-hmm. and seeing someone as your main teacher, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it's similar to like with your mom, where she doesn't do confession,
right?
You know, 'cause I think of confession as being kind of a guru devotional kind of thing that you do, you know, like, you know who the priest is, but he's in there in a dark thing anyway, you know, and he doesn't, hopefully he probably doesn't know who you are, you know, that's the whole idea about the thing, just like confidentiality or something in therapy. But, you know, then you go in and you, like, you know, he's this kind of mediator to God, you know, and the guru for us is sort of like this, you know, kind of channel to, you know, some, you know, kind of higher spiritual teaching. That he has this clear, or she has this clear lineage for, and can, you know, transmit in this kind of, you know, kind of like it has fidelity, if you will, you know, to the tradition. So I think there's a lot of similarities, but I definitely think that it's, you know, probably one of the biggest, like, Western social stigmas that Buddhism has, you know. So I kind of make sure, like, when I'm talking to somebody else and we're talking about my Buddhist practice, I hardly ever use the G word, you know. I don't say, oh, that's my guru or something, or you immediately go, oh, that's it, conversation's over.